the Rams. I mean, we've talked about them a ton this offseason. Dude,
are you changing favorite teams? Is this what we're doing? Because I know you're a Saints fan, but
yeah,
you love Cam Akers, you love Stafford, you love Cooper Kupp. If you're smart, you love Robert Woods because he's the GOAT.
It's time to fade the chalk.
Fade the chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Fade the Chalk podcast, brought to you by the FTN Network. I'm your host, Ebro, and with me, as always, to discuss some underdog best ball stacks to target is my co-host, Adam Pfeiffer. Adam, what's going on, man?
Chilling, man. It's best, like we said the other day, it is absolutely best ball season, and we are, doing, I don't want to speak for you, but I'm doing, multiple drafts a day. And yeah, you don't have to necessarily stack. We talked about this when we did the live draft on the podcast on Monday, but or Tuesday, whatever day it was, you don't have to stack, but it's definitely, and Elliot's written about it on the site and others, and it's just, the correlation is there. So finding the right stacks and finding the high upside stacks can definitely be the difference. So there's been stacks that I'm trying to get a piece of every stack, but we're going to talk about some of our favorites today.
Absolutely, man. And we've talked about this a ton already, but I think it's very important to Adam and I are going to roll through our top three stacks, giving you our two main ones that we're really looking at heavily in best ball right now, as well as giving you one that's, I'm not going to say it's definitively off the page because a lot of people are out there talking about best ball right now, but one of them that maybe it makes a little bit more sense in some of those edges you can gain, if you're entering the Best Ball Mania 2 tournament. So if you haven't done that yet, head over to Underdog right now, download the app, get signed up with the promo code FTN, and first-time depositors, you are going to get $25 by signing up, and that is one entry into Best Ball Mania 2, or 5 to 8 drafts, depending on if you're doing $3 to $5 drafts, versus Adam, myself, other people that are over at FTN, because we are all in the Best Ball streets right now. You got to get signed up, head over there. Adam, kick us off here, man. What's the first stack you want to lead off here with?
Yeah, so I've talked about this offense pretty much the entire offseason, so I might as well start with them now. It is the Chargers. There's just so much to like, right? We have the high upside fantasy quarterback for the first time, and we had Rivers there for forever, and he was he was always in that QB 8 to 12 to 15 range, especially more towards the end of his career, he was towards that 15 range. But now we have a second year quarterback in Justin Herbert, who has a huge arm. And you have what I love to look for in some of these stacks is a concentrated passing offense with Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, and Austin Eckler as the main three guys. Hunter Henry's gone, which opens up just an easy situation for Mike Williams to lead this team in end zone targets. And that's huge for him. He wasn't as efficient last year with Justin Herbert, but over the course of his career, since he's entered the league, he's been among the league leaders in yards per target and ADOT. So we know the upside is there. And we know Justin Herbert is going to throw the ball down the field. And I was looking at some news blurbs this morning, and Joe Lombardi was he's really high on Mike Williams this year. He said he expects him to have some really strong numbers. And in the past, Joe Lombardi's offenses have really relied heavily on the X receiver. And that's exactly what Mike Williams is going to be. Like I mentioned, with Hunter Henry gone, Keenan Allen, he can score touchdowns at an average rate, but he's never been, a Davante Adams type touchdown score in his career, and I don't think he's going to be. So all of a sudden you take away Hunter Henry and Keenan Allen's not going to be a huge touchdown scorer. Mike Williams seems to be the guy that you could say, okay, he's going to lead this team in end zone targets. And then of course you have the overall target volume from Keenan Allen, who, 30%+ target share with Justin Herbert last year. He's a legitimate candidate to be top five in targets again. There's your obvious guy you're pairing with, but also Austin Eckler you can pair him with. You have outs to okay, say you draft Eckler, and then somebody drafts Keenan Allen ahead of you. Okay, you still can go with Mike Williams. Or if you draft Keenan Allen and somebody drafts, you have outs in this offense. And of course, obviously, you want to pair him all with Justin Herbert, who we've seen the upside. He was, posting high-end QB1 numbers pretty much every time he started last year. Not to mention the offensive line, while they were, better in pass protection than they were run blocking, they're still going to be even better in pass protection most likely this year, because you bring in Rashawn Slater and you bring in Corey Linsley, who was the number one center in PFF's grading last year. So there's just so much to like here. They're going to have to keep up in a lot of games in that division, you would think. Yeah, the defense, if healthy, should be good, but I don't think this team is going to be all of a sudden, you know, just, okay, give it to Austin Eckler 25 times in the ground. I think they're going to, you know, they have their franchise quarterback, and like I said, Keenan Allen's the obvious, but I just, Mike Williams in that range where it's like in that seventh to ninth round in best ball drafts, I'm trying to get Mike Williams or Darnell Mooney, those guys, Marvin Jones, like those are the three receivers I'm trying to get every single time in that range. So give me all the Chargers.
I love the Chargers call, and I dropped an article yesterday on FTN Fantasy talking about just different ways, because you know, you and I both talk about it, and we both hate on it to a certain extent, about schedule analysis at the time of the offseason. There are parts and pieces that you can dice up and different ways of looking at it from a schedule perspective. And I dove into that for FTN Fantasy. That article is live on the site. Go check that out. But, dude, I love the fact that you brought up the Chargers here, because when I was doing my research, fifth easiest projected passing schedule, if you're looking at explosive pass rates allowed last season, I love the Chargers offense. I mean, they are going to face Kansas City twice, Denver twice, which, yes, Denver made some upgrades, but we also know that, like, there's enough seasons that we've seen Ronald Darby be absolutely terrible to know that maybe last year was more of an outlier than something we need to be like, wow, yeah. Darby's a massive upgrade.
I will say, I think Denver, like, Denver's the one where I've said this many times. Like, I think they're legitimately going to have a top five defense overall this year. So, like, that matchup, but again, like, I rarely care about schedules at this point of the season. So, and I bring this exact point up all the time, but 2 years ago, the Bears, elite run defense, they lose, why can't I remember his name, their D tackle.
Akeem Hicks.
Thank you, Akeem Hicks, and their splits in terms of explosive run rate and yards before contact and yards, like everything just fall off a cliff. So literally takes, you know, one injury and it can go from a bottom five matchup to one that you're all of a sudden trying to attack.
Absolutely, man. And for that reason, I'm going to stay in Los Angeles. I'm going to sit here and bring up the Rams. I mean, we've talked about them a ton this offseason.
Dude, are you changing favorite teams? is this what we're doing? Because, I know you're a Saints fan, but
yeah,
you love Cam Akers, you love Stafford, you love Cooper Kupp. If you're smart, you love Robert Woods because he's the GOAT.
I never shut up about Jacob Harris.
Yeah, and imagine if they still had Gerald Everett. I mean, it'd be ridiculous. The only person you don't like from this team is Tyler Higbee, which I agree about.
I mean, pretty much, man. And look, the schedule lines up for Los Angeles. You look at the Rams. I mean, look, they get Seattle twice. They get Chicago, Arizona, Detroit, Jacksonville, Houston are all on the docket, man. And another reason why I feel like we need to be buying into this offense. We talked about pace. We've talked about passing rates. We talked about their scoring upside. Matthew Stafford, over the last two seasons, with Daryl Bevel running the plays, calling the shots, and stuff like that, has quietly, like, directed a top 10 explosive offense. They were first in 2019 and 10th in 2020 when he has been under center. So top 10 explosive passing rates in two seasons. And we're talking about massive upgrades here, Adam. Like, was Marvin Jones and Kenny Galladay immensely good? Yes. But we're talking about going from Detroit to freaking Los Angeles and Sean McVay at the buttons, at the controls. And now you got Cooper Kupp. You got Robert Woods. You got all these other fantastic skill players around him. I mean, look, even if you want to step outside the numbers for a second, Sean McVay has sounded like a giddy 10-year-old. Like, first day of school, they're back in action, and everybody's super excited. Sean McVay has been praising to anybody that will listen how excited he is for this year about Matthew Stafford directing this offense. You line that up with the schedule and the pace and everything else. Dude, the Rams have got to be up there as far as, especially, like, Matthew Stafford is going, like, 10th, 11th round on Underdog right now. You could pair him with one of these Konami code quarterbacks and then have Stafford as your QB2 and look at, like, you're getting both the upside of, like, your first quarterback with the rushing upside and your second quarterback. We're talking about marriages of offenses here. Top 3 to 5 quarterback upside, if you go with somebody like Lamar, Jalen Hurts, what have you, and then you pair that with Matthew Stafford, and this team is going to be maybe top 5 in pace, top 5 to 7 in passing rate. It's awesome.
It is so crazy too, the absolute just huge difference between Stafford and Jared Goff. I mean, Matthew Stafford last year in terms of intended air yards per pass attempt was at 8.7. Goff was just barely over 6. Like air yards or completed air yards per completion. Goff was among the league's worst. Like he was just, they're going to be able to open up so many more things with this offense. And that gives Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods, who, you know, during their careers with the Rams have been more intermediate guys because that's what the offense, you know, dictated, but they can win deep. Like they're both capable of winning everywhere. And that's going to give them a higher ceiling with Stafford under center. Not to mention I sound like a broken record, but I want stacks where you know where the ball's going. Last year, Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp combined for just over 45% of the Rams' targets. That's like Demaryius Thomas, Eric Decker, Denver Broncos days when they were like incredible in fantasy. And obviously, that was like one of the most historic offenses ever with Peyton Manning. But like that just kind of shows you the amount of security and just overall targets between the two. Do we like Tyler Higbee that much on this podcast for fantasy? Not really, but like, you can still draft him as your tight end and pair him with somebody else if you want that part of the stack. And you mentioned Jacob Harris, who apparently, again, you talk about Sean McVay being giddy. He's apparently very, very excited about Jacob Harris, too. So obviously there's those guys. I think Van Jefferson, you know, I think one of us, I think you drafted him in the best ball draft we did on Tuesday. I love that, too. But like you just know where the ball's going. And with Stafford under center, it's just going to give them, you know, I would say the same amount of targets. I don't think you can say, oh, Stafford's going to target. Like they'll both probably be around that 130 mark, maybe 140 with the extra game. And I think they're going to get higher upside targets occasionally too with Stafford under center. So yeah, I love this call. You mentioned the pace as well. Just anybody that thinks the difference between Goff and Stafford is not that noticeable has not been watching football. I'll just put it that way.
Oh, absolutely, man. And the reason, again, that I love the Rams so much, and we talked about this a good bit about stacking in that episode that went through the live draft and stuff. So people need to go back and tune into that. But also with the Rams, dude, you can get wild with this team on the last few rounds of your drafts. If you're doing Best Ball Mania 2, like the chalk picks right now, because it's damn near impossible to get Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods.
They go literally like back to back in drafts. It's so frustrating.
It's insane. Even if you have a turn pick, you're probably going to miss out on one.
Like, I'm not even saying that as like an expression. Like, they literally go back to back in so many of these drafts. Like, literally back to back.
It's incredibly hard. So it's like, okay, well, if I can't get if I can't get both of them, how else am I going to garner a large part of this offense, or I'm going to garner the upside, the spike weeks, man. And so you're saying, okay, I'm going to shoot my shot with Robert Woods or Cooper Kupp, whoever you want to go with. If you want to go Tyler Higbee, that's fine. But I think that looking at the back end of drafts is where you can really, really get interesting and different, especially looking at Best Ball Mania 2. Like, the chalk picks right now are DeSean Jackson, if you're going to go for the deep target.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Van Jefferson is in that same type of range. The guy who is not being discussed is Jacob Harris. So, like, we are getting all kinds of crazy reports out of camp. Like, he's doing awesome things.
Is he wide receiver or tight end on Underdog?
He is a wide receiver my friend.
Okay.
He is outside the top 100 wide receivers on Underdog right now. Last time I looked at ADP, wide receiver 114. He is being just absolutely slept on. And for a player that, like, we've seen the size speed metrics. We've seen players like this ball out in their rookie season. Is this a really, I mean, come on. We're talking about targets and stuff like that. He's going to have to fight for them. But you're talking about a guy that's free, last pick of drafts, and you're talking about bigger tournaments. You versus 150,000 people. Like, come on, Adam. How many people do you think out of 150,000, percentage-wise, are going to even draft Jacob Harris? So we're talking about, like, marrying him with a Matthew Stafford stack at the last pick of your drafts versus a field of over 150K, what percentage do you put it at, people that are even like discussing Jacob Harris or drafting him? I put it as less than 5%.
I was going to say like three or four.
Dude, if you get to the final table, you make it to the finals. Jacob Harris, like, they have an injury. Like, we're talking about, we make all the jokes about DeSean Jackson if he gets hurt or Tutu Atwell, like, not being a factor, or Van Jefferson, what is he going to do? If the real answer at the end of the season is not any of those other names, And it's who the hell is catching deep passes and touchdowns in week 16, week 17 from Matthew Stafford? If the answer is Jacob Harris and you have him on your squad, you're garnering points, touchdowns, and equity out of that offense that maybe nobody else has. So he is a target in Best Ball Mania 2 that I want to bring up before we move on to the next team, man.
Yeah, I like it. And like, again, you've talked about this a lot too, like in those, in the large field, you know, the Best Ball Mania is like, it's not always the, okay, for example, like, you know, the Falcons or something, for example, like it's not always the, okay, Ridley and Pitts. Sometimes it's the Zacchaeus Lee or, you know, you pair, you know what I mean? Like it's not the greatest example, but it's not always the clear cut wide receiver one, wide receiver two, or pass catcher one, pass catcher two. They're obviously going to do a lot of the heavy lifting, but if you're looking, you know, like the Cowboys, maybe it, you know, it's, if you don't get CeeDee Lamb, you know, Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, like it's not always the clear top guys that are going in the, you know, first 3 to 4 rounds in these drafts that can make the difference for these stacks.
Absolutely, man. And you're trying to diversify your team builds at least a certain amount. And I'm not talking about just taking like bench players or players just to do it, just to be different. Right. But ways that you can diversify your teams versus everybody else in this field, man. What's the next team you're going to bring up here as far as a team you're willing to stack?
Yeah, I'm going to another team I've been talking about a ton lately, and that's the Carolina Panthers. I think Sam Darnold is not done. I think this is, you know, is he anywhere close to the best quarterback in the draft class? No, obviously not. But this is, you want to talk about talking about being giddy. I mean, he went from having just terrible, terrible pass catchers throughout his career with the Jets to now he's got DJ Moore. He's got Robbie Anderson, who he's obviously familiar with. He's got Christian McCaffrey. He's got Terrace Marshall. And oh, by the way, he's got Joe Brady in 1 year has shown way more promise as a play caller than Adam Gase ever has. So for me, this is one of those stacks where it's very, very doable to get anybody. Obviously, McCaffrey, if you want him, he's going 101, at worst 102. Get him, obviously. Like some of the numbers from last year are interesting because McCaffrey missed so much time. But like, it's not like Mike Davis wasn't involved. So last year, the FTN Network Twitter account, we've been tweeting some great stats powered by FTN Data, which is coming soon. But just some teaser stats, and they tweeted one today, about an hour ago. End zone target share leaders in the NFL last year, DJ Moore, number 2 in the league at 37.5%. Oof. It just didn't convert, right? Like Bridgewater was not accurate deep down the field, which was DJ Moore's role last year in that offense. And he wasn't very good in the red zone. We talked about it. These Carolina receivers did not score touchdowns. Robbie Anderson scored in week 1 and then went like 6 weeks in a row without scoring. Samuel got the touchdowns, but a lot of them came via the ground. And then DJ Moore didn't score a lot of touchdowns again. DJ Moore, I've talked about it. If he gets the touchdowns, he's going to be top 10. He's that damn good. He's that good in terms of yardage. And again, with Terrace Marshall filling in for Curtis Samuel, I think DJ Moore is going to move inside more than the 20%+ he was inside last year. That's going to give him better targets where, yes, DJ Moore can win deep down the field. He's that good. But coming out of college, he was incredible after the catch, and that's going to be able to be a more of a focal point for his game if he's in the slot more. So love DJ Moore. He's skyrocketing in terms of my rankings, how many times I've drafted him. Like he's one of my favorite players in fantasy this year. Robbie Anderson, people just don't want to draft. I don't get it. He was a top 25 receiver last year. He's going like outside the top 33 or so at receiver. His role really isn't going to change much, right? He's got Darnold there, which, you know, at worst, you can say, okay, it's a wash at quarterback, right? I don't think Sam Darnold, you say, oh, well, it's a downgrade. Like it's at worst, it's an even trade, whatever. But I loved how Joe Brady used him. I talked about this all the time, but like the stat is, it's just so crazy to look at Robbie Anderson's role from his last year in the Jets to last year with Carolina. So in 2019 with Sam Darnold, 11.3 yards before the catch per reception. Last year, that went down to 6.3. So 5 full yards less before the catch per reception. He was in the slot just under 20% of the time with the Jets. That went up to 32% last year. And then his average up the target with the Jets was 15.7. Last year with Carolina, when he was running more intermediate stuff, down to 9.7. So he was used, obviously, in a much better way for fantasy. I don't think that's going to change too much. And then Terrace Marshall. I just keep drafting him like the 13th round. You think Joe Brady is going to know how to use him? I'm pretty sure they're familiar with each other. Curtis Samuel, look, again, I know McCaffrey wasn't healthy last year, but he was also a top 30 receiver in fantasy last year. 98 targets up for grabs that are gone. Like, there's this, and Darnold you can get at the very end, and you can just use this as a secondary stack too. It doesn't even have to be your main stack, which I've done a lot because Darnold doesn't go till, you know, late, and Robbie Anderson goes later than he should. The only guys that are even somewhat going early are obviously McCaffrey and then DJ Moore, who I think should be going higher. So this is right up there for me. It's probably my second favorite stack, not counting the obvious, you know, Chiefs, Bills, Cowboys, stuff like that. I'm excited about the Panthers this year.
I love it, man. And I still think that, like, I think that Terrace Marshall's still being slept on. Like, his touchdown upside in this offense, will you be
dude, his,
crazy
his,
surprised?
His Twitter picks that are coming out, they're fire. They're exciting. I know you what was the one you tweeted? It was him, like, doing a shush.
Uh-huh. Yeah, man. I mean, dude, it's so much fun. And people still want to be married to their priors about, okay, well, what did his prospect profile come out? And if you're willing to sit here and buy into some of the noise and fade him, that's fine, man. But I'm not going to be surprised if Terrace Marshall ends up with, like, a Chase Claypool type of, like, rookie season, 8-9 touchdowns. At that spot in the draft where he's going, he is a money pick and underdog right now. So really love the Panthers, love and especially, like, you can marry in some of these large field tournaments like Best Ball Mania 2, you can get also stack equity and correlations for, like, week 17. We talked about this with John Daigle, mm-hmm. man. Like,
yeah, Daigle's really high on this, and it's good stuff to talk about.
The Panthers play the Saints in week 17. So if you want to get different correlations, like, you want to go, obviously, like, the, you know, DJ Moore, yes, Terrace Marshall, Robbie, CMC, all those different parts and pieces, Sam Darnold. You want to marry that and get an extra piece of correlation in week 17. You want to go Adam Troutman or Traquan at the end of your drafts. Or hell, if you've got other parts and pieces of Carolina or the Saints, and you're like, okay, what about Sam or Dan Arnold at the very last pick of your drafts?
Drafted him the other day.
Yes, man. Like, I think it's all these different ways that we're trying to get an edge on the field with correlations, and it's not being too cute, because when you get to week 17 and it's you versus 11 other teams and you're the only team, and say Sam Darnold goes out and he balls out, or Dan Arnold catches two touchdowns, this is how you get different versus everybody else, man. So love the Panthers call. I am going to stay on as far as an offense that I think is going to surprise some people, going to be explosive. Been talking about them all offseason, and you could marry them, this stack, with Los Angeles Rams. Again, talking about teams that play each other in week 17, the Baltimore Ravens are going to shock people about how well they're going to throw the damn ball this year. Again, going back to this schedule analysis article that I ran through over at FTN, got to go check this out, man. The Ravens, if you're looking at explosive pass rates allowed, the easiest projected schedule in the NFL. So even if you want to talk about, okay, that changes, some of these defenses are better, that's fine. Are you really going to tell me that, like, this schedule right now, based off of what we're looking at, is going to go from the best in the NFL right now in this metric to the worst, bottom 10, bottom 5? No! You're looking at a team that's going to play Detroit, Minnesota, Cincinnati twice. Miami was quietly bad versus big plays, because their corners are big and they're not exactly, like, fast. They play a lot of man coverage.
They got the Raiders week one, who have been, like, the stone worst against deep passive plays, like, the last 5 years.
Oh, my God, man. And people are still sleeping on Lamar. Like, you're able to get him in the sixth round on underdog
That's the thing with me, Lamar. He throws off any sort of, and we talk about it, like, having a draft strategy in these best balls, you can going in, but then you're going to have, you know, ways to change, obviously, and you have to stay on your toes. Lamar is the reason that my draft strategy gets changed, because I see him in the sixth and seventh round, and I'm like, I'm taking him. Like, I'm 100% taking him here. I don't care.
I'm fine with the man. I mean, I love him for this year. And what part of this passing attack are you having to pay up for? You got Marquise Brown is ADP. He's in the 90s. He's dropping to the hundreds overall on players.
I'm about to pull up where I drafted those guys in our draft, because I had that stack. Yeah. I'm going to pull them up, but go ahead.
Yeah, you got Marquise Brown and Rashad Bateman. Rashad Bateman's going in the 120s, man. Like, that's crazy. I just don't understand it. Like, all of the bias is real. People that really believe that Lamar, after posting an MVP season and so many damn passing touchdowns, they really believe that he's that bad. and not diving into how much of an upgrade he got in pass catchers. I'm not doing it, man. I'm not going to fade Baltimore. I'm not going to fade the passing.
So I got Bateman. His ADP is like 124 and a half. I took him at 114, but again, that was me making sure I solidified that. I got Hollywood at the 90th overall selection. And then, like, Mark Andrews is kind of getting slept on too, because everybody is going crazy for Kyle Pitts, which is, I get. And then a lot of people still are like, okay, Hockenson's going to get all the targets, so they move him ahead of him. And it's like Mark Andrews starts to fall too. And it's like, you want to talk about stacking and touchdown equity. Mark Andrews still has the equity of touchdowns in this offense in the passing game. And I'm not buying the running backs getting more involved in the passing game. Like, that's cool. I don't think it's gonna play out that way by the end of the season. So I'm not somebody that's gonna want to, you know, draft Dobbins with Lamar Jackson or anything. But like, yeah, like Andrews is not really being drafted as high as you would think he would be. So yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, there's really not an expensive draft pick that you need. Not even for Lamar. I mean, Lamar doesn't even go that high, because especially in the best ball drafts, because yes, you may have Lamar Jackson and other people may have Lamar Jackson ranked higher than Dak Prescott or Kyler Murray. But if their build has DeAndre Hopkins or the Dallas players, they're not drafting Lamar Jackson most likely. I mean, they don't have to stack him, but you know what I mean? Like, that could push Lamar down even more. Then all of a sudden, like, yeah, I have no clue who's going to finish as the QB1 this year. And that's what makes it so exciting, because they're all so good. But man, like if Rashad Bateman is who we think he is, and Marquise Brown can still stretch the field, Lamar could do lots of things this year.
The other part about this dude is, like, if you wanted to go, because he's free, and I understand he's burnt us. We're not big on him as far as like a redraft asset. We're probably going to talk about him in DFS some weeks. Last pick, Sammy Watkins.
Apparently he's been the best receiver in camp.
Ton of sense in large field tournaments, man. Like, I think that you can correlate him. Again, we're talking about, what are you having to pay in any of these drafts for any of these pass catchers? Even if you wanted to single stack Lamar, that's fine. Double stacking him late with Sammy at the last pick of your draft, and whoever else you want to go with Andrews, go with Bateman, go with Marquise, whatever you want to do, man. The ceiling weeks are coming. The touchdowns are coming back. We know Lamar has enough equity by himself on the ground. I'm big into Baltimore this year, and I'm not going to be surprised if Lamar Jackson finishes as the QB1 overall, considering all these parts and pieces. And we didn't even talk about the offensive line upgrade, man. Like, he is going to have more time in the pocket this year, like, considering the moves they made in the offseason. So, big Lamar Jackson stand going into this year. Who's your last stack you're going to be targeting, and why? Why is it another beautiful, beautiful mobile quarterback that people are still sleeping on?
This shouldn't surprise anybody that's listening to this podcast. The Chicago Bears, they are the late kind of, I guess call it late round stack that I just keep gravitating towards. And I'm trying to get Allen Robinson, but a lot of it's been Justin Fields with Cole Kmet and Darnell Mooney, who's all of a sudden, like, Darnell Mooney might be like, I tweeted it, man, dude, I moved him over Marv one spot. God.
Earlier this week, did you get him in that draft? I can't remember. You drafted him, right?
Someone drafted him ahead of me. I don't really know his name, but I heard he's just not a very nice person. But no, like, Allen Robinson is getting his 150 targets. We know he's producing no matter what. It doesn't even matter if Justin Fields isn't as good as we think he's going to be. He will be, by the way. But even if he's, like, you know, off to a slow start, Allen Robinson gets his every year. We know that. But then, Darnell Mooney, man, he separates at an elite level already in the NFL. He wins with speed. He wins with quickness. Ray Garvin did a film breakdown on him, and it was incredible, first of all, because Ray's the GOAT. But, like, it was great to watch, too, because I just went back and I just revisited all the great plays he made, and then all the great plays that were left for dead, essentially, because the ball didn't get to him. That, like, 23 deep targets last year, 23 of them. He caught four of them. Oof. And he didn't drop any of them. That tells you the passes were terrible. He had one of the highest off target percentage throws to him in the NFL. It was terrible. Justin Fields, all the great things he did at Ohio State, one of his strengths, like one of his many strengths, deep accuracy. He throws a deep ball very accurately. That's going to be great for Darnell Mooney. He's going to walk into 100-plus targets because Anthony Miller is not a thing. They don't have any other pass catchers. I think the running back receptions are coming down. And then Cole Kmet has apparently been wowing in minicamp right now, too. We know the snaps are going to be over Jimmy Graham. If he gets the end zone targets over Jimmy Graham, or if Jimmy Graham just plays less overall in the, you know, in the red zone, which if he's still on the team, I would imagine if his snaps are coming down.
Or if they cut him! If they cut him!
Why not? What are they... Because Jimmy Graham, like, I'll give him this. Like, the contract is terrible. It always was. But he played better than anybody thought he would. But still, yeah, I mean, like, there's no reason to not cut him. But still, Cole Kmet, he was relatively productive. If his snaps keep going up and his routes keep going up, that's all that mattered. He pretty much doubled Jimmy Graham's routes down the stretch. Just give him some end zone targets. And again, it's not like the Chargers in terms of, like, the high upside concentrated offense. But the targets are going to Mooney, Robinson, and Cole Kmet pretty easily. There's nobody else there.
I just look. People are still sleeping on Cole Kmet's upside, man. It's because Jimmy
I think they're
Graham
sleeping on Mooney
there.
Still too. He's getting a little bit they of hype, are. But like Darnell Mooney, like he wins pretty much every way. And like if you just literally go to Ray's Twitter, watch the film breakdown he did, and you'll watch it and be like, wow, this guy can get open. At the end of the day, if you can get open like that, you're gonna make plays, especially with the quarterback position being upgraded. And yes, if Andy Dalton starts the first couple games, A, it's stupid. Second of all, I understand Trubisky was good down the stretch, but Trubisky also wasn't playing those games where Mooney was getting all the games where he was getting that crazy separation early in the year. That was Nick Foles. Remember that? It was a Thursday night game against Tampa Bay. He won against every corner they threw at him. Sean Murphy Bunting, Carlton Davis, everybody. Jamel Dean, he won against all of them, and Nick Foles just couldn't get the job done.
Dude, all it was him airmailing him every single time. And I talked about this the other day.
They still won that game. I don't know how they won that game.
I don't either, man. I have no clue how they won that game. But I
that was the game where Brady thought it was third down and was fourth.
Oh, good Lord. I'm recalling all of these great memories, man. But talked about this earlier this week. Stopped by the Rotor Underworld radio program. Talked about discussing all of this with Matt Kelly this week. Dude, Darnell Mooney could be Chicago's version of John Brown. Production, yeah. Efficiency, all of these different things. There's so many comparables there for him.
And they both play really wide receiver.
Huge fan. Huge. Huge fan of Darnell Mooney this year. Love that call for Chicago, man. Final passing offense I got to bring up here is the San Francisco 49ers, man.
This is interesting. We haven't really talked about their passing offense much this offseason because we have to talk about Trey Sermon every 5 minutes on this podcast.
Hey, we're going to talk about it again here, okay? Thank you very much.
Let's do it.
There's so many different ways to target this offense, to stack them. You want to go Trey Lance. You want to go even Jimmy G in large field tournaments. That's fine. I'm not going that way personally because I think Trey Lance is going to be the starter for most of this season. And we're looking at rookies, and especially if we're talking about stretch run heroes, Trey Lance could be that for us this year. And I understand George Kittle is going early in drafts. Deebo, Brandon Ayuk, 60s and the 70s and players overall, you want to go that way with the stack, that's totally fine. Again, bring this up, man, because people don't really understand that, like, how juicy this 49er schedule is down the stretch. Weeks 14 through 17. I'm going to bring this up here, Adam, and you tell me if any of these teams, when the going is the possibly toughest for most teams down the stretch, are any of these teams going to scare you in the fantasy playoffs or on underdog if you're in the playoffs, the quarterfinals, semis, the championship round, and Best Ball Mania 2, weeks 14 through 17, the Cincinnati Bengals, the Atlanta Falcons, the Tennessee Titans, and the Houston freaking Texans, man. That is their schedule. That is the type of schedule that leads you to the money, that leads you to fantasy titles. Like, it's insane, dude. And look, people are still like, there's uncertainty about who the starting quarterback's going to be. And that's the only reason we're seeing Trey Lance be drafted as late as he is. His ADP on underdog is 120 right now, man. That's crazy for his upside.
And real quick, that's remember in the before the NFL draft, we were talking about draft Najee Harris and Michael Carter and these guys now before they climb when they have landing spots. Like, if we get word in 2 months, Trey Lance is a starting quarterback for San Francisco, he's going to be like a top 12 quarterback, probably that's being conservative.
Top 15.
He's going
at worst.
To skyrocket.
Yep. He's going to get up there into the 80s, into the 70s, possibly. Like, you're going to see him jump up to whether he's probably going to be in the same tier as like Russell Wilson, Justin Herbert in the 70s. Yep. If we find out that he is definitively the starter. And if that's the case, man, you've got to be getting your exposure now. Like, his ADP is not going to get any lower than it is probably right now the closer we get to the season, especially if any, like, positive news comes out and it's like, Jimmy G's just not doing it in camp. Kyle Shanahan's got the beer goggles. He's loving Trey Lance, man. And if that's the case, got to get your exposure right now. And for all the love that, like, I've spit about Trey Sermon on this podcast, that schedule to end of the season is fantastic for the rushing attack. So you want to, and Trey Sermon's hype, like, his ADP is not continuing to go up, dude. It's in the 70s. It's been in the 70s. He's outside the top 24, top 25 running backs. He's not expensive. So go get your exposure now. Mm-hmm. Get into this offense while you can.
And we definitely, like, in redraft and stuff, we have our concerns of, okay, it's probably going to be a low passing volume offense, but, and we don't know if it's going to be Kittle getting 9 targets 1 week, Ayuk getting 8, Debo getting 10.
Single stack him.
Exactly.
One player.
Exactly. Or you can, you can go a bunch of different ways and you don't have to worry about it being, oh, it's a Debo week. Oh, it's an Ayuk week. And the thing, like, if you're doing this and Trey Lance is still not, if they're still saying Jimmy G is a starter, just make sure all you got to do is just draft an extra quarterback. If you go like Lance and, I don't know, like somebody else, because I've done that a lot, man. Like, you draft one of the top 10 quarterbacks and all of a sudden Trey Lance is sitting there and you don't love the running backs and receivers and you go, I mean, you want to talk about just league winning upside if Trey Lance is the guy for this offense and Kyle Shanahan's offense nonetheless. I mean, I hesitate to say he's going to be like what Lamar and Josh Allen were the last 2 years as super late draft picks in fantasy or guys you didn't even draft, but like the upside for that late of a pick. I mean, I'm just excited to see him in Shanahan's offense.
Okay, but say that, last year, another example of a team that, like, we weren't sure about what we were going to do about the offense. Things changed. And I understand this was a very different set of circumstances and things got wild and it got crazy really fast. What if Trey Lance just does like a Justin Herbert? Mm-hmm. And I say just, but like he's a top 10 quarterback. And this offense is way, way better than we think it's going to be. Like, we know the efficiency is there, dude, in this side of this scheme. All we need is health. And if Trey Lance is going to get the starting nod sooner, hell, even if you pay up for quarterbacks, so you get, say, Lamar Jackson as your number one quarterback, you're not drafting Trey Lance to the 10th or 11th round, dude. And you're absorbing that. What you're saying is, okay, Lamar is going to be my starter or whoever else you pay up for the whole entire season. If Trey Lance balls out or he takes over down the stretch, then literally you're saying, okay, which top 5 to 10 quarterback is going to make my starting lineup on a weekly basis in best ball formats? That is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that just gives you so much upside no matter what. And again, in best ball, that's the goal, right? Shooting for as much upside as possible.
Yeah, weekly and season long. All right, everyone, that is our stacks to target on Underdog right now. Again, if you're not signed up, do so today with the promo code FTN. Get $25 free if you're a first-time depositor. Meet us in these best ball streets. Adam and I are going to be back discussing more best ball, more fantasy football, getting you ready for week one. For Fade the Chalk, we are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.